Revelation chapter 3, verse 7. Revelation 3 and verse 7. And it says here, "And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David." Remember, we just read about the Lord laid on him the key of David. "He that hath the key of David, he that openeth, and no man shutteth, and no man opens." Now, our Lord here is talking about himself, and he's called himself David. He's the son of David. We know, according to the flesh, from the tribe of Judah, he was raised up to be the king, king over Israel. He was king of kings before he come, but he's the king of Israel. And he came as the son of David, after the flesh, and he says he has the key of David. Now, we all know what a key is for. Everybody knows what a key is for. It's either the lock to keep secure. You lock something, keep somebody out. Keep things secure. And then secondly, you unlock things. You use a key to unlock, to give access, to open, to allow people to go in. And the one who has a key has something that's valuable, and it's valuable to them. Your house key is valuable to you. Your car key is valuable to you. It's not to me, but it is to you. I can't get in your house without your key. You can't get in mine. You can lock me out, or you can give me access. In the same way, and that's what something is valuable to them. And some use the key wrongfully. Now, you keep Revelations, and look with me over in Luke 11:52, just a moment. Some have the key, and they use it. They use it wrongfully. And, you know, and how many times we'll say, what's the key to understanding it? What does that mean? What's the key to making that understandable? What's the key that will help me to learn this right here? Well, here in Luke 11:52, look what our Savior says about these men. "Woe unto you lawyers, for you have taken away the key of knowledge." You've taken it away. There's a key of knowledge. There's a key to learning. There's a key to understanding. And says, you've taken it away. "You entered not in yourselves." You wouldn't enter in. And then not only would you not enter in, but you would hinder them who would enter in. So they took away the key of knowledge. They took away the understanding of the Scriptures. Took away the key that unlocks this Word of God, which is Christ, which He calls Himself the key. So back over here in Revelation 3, let's look at what it says about our Savior having the key of David. We know that, and He says here that he that hath the key of David opens, and no man shutteth, and shutteth, and no man opens. So He's got the key to shut the door and lock it. He's got the key to open it. And when He opens, nobody can shut it. When He shuts it, ain't nobody under the sun, heaven and earth can open this. So here, let's look at His character, first of all. "And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia," right. First of all, says, "He saith, he that is holy." He that is holy. Our Lord Jesus Christ is holy. Now, when we talk about holiness, we don't know what we're talking about as far as it relates to human nature and human beings. But when it comes to talking about God, God is holy. That means He has no impurities. He has no falseness. He has no weakness, no inabilities. He's pure. He's pure light. God dwells in a light that no man can approach unto. And not only is He holy, but He's holy in three persons. God the Father is holy. God Himself says He inhabits eternity, the high and lofty one, the Holy One, who inhabits eternity. When the cherubims cried, they cried, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God." He is holy as God the Father, because He was God manifest in the flesh. He says, "No man has ever seen the Father but me." And he is holy in the person of the Holy Ghost, who comes here and makes Christ known to us, and who makes the Spirit known to us, makes the Word known unto us, and reveals Christ to us. And he's holy as the Son of God. As God, as a man who come into this world, and as a man, as a human being, a man of the flesh. He came in here and was the son of David after the flesh. He as a man was his, he was holy. There was no sin in him, no sin about him, no thought. As a man, when you looked at him, he's the only man that's ever lived on this earth that had no sin, knew no sin, thought no sin, felt no sin. He was holy inside and outside. Now that's what I'm talking about. You and I can't understand that. But our Lord Jesus Christ himself said, which of you convinces me of sin? If Christ our Lord was in this building this morning in the flesh, you would look at a person, you would say, that man is holy. Now they call people holy in this world, but they don't have a clue what holiness is. But our Lord Jesus Christ was holy. Holy. Pure. Sinless. Immaculate. Glorious as a man. And oh, beloved, he is God. We must have, we got to have somebody that's holy to save us. You know, we're sinful, so whoever's going to save us, they got to be holy. They got to be pure. They got to be sinless. A sinner can't save a sinner. And only Christ can save sinners, so he must be holy. And that's why he says that such a high priest became us who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, higher than the heavens. And right now, at the right hand of God, there sits a man. There sits a man. And that man is sinless and perfect as he sits at the right hand of God. And he, in his sinlessness and his perfection and his power, because he has that key, he prays for us and intercedes for us right this moment. And I need him to do it for me. And oh, beloved, that's why he says, God said himself, behold my beloved. Pilate said, I find no fault in him. And everyone who was around him said, I find no fault in him. If God found no fault in him, man found no fault in him, the devil found no fault in him. In fact, the devil himself called him the Holy One of God. They said, we know who thou art. You're the Holy One of God. If you come to torment us before our time, if you come to put us out of these bodies that we dwell in and we control, if you come to cast us out and put us someplace where we in hell and wait and torment us before it's even our time. So his character, he's the Holy One. Look what else it says about him. Not only is he holy, these that saith these things is holy, he is true. And when we talk about truth, in light of him being true, everything else is false. In light of, you know, there's things that are true. 12 inches make a foot. That's true. 2 plus 2 equals 4. Those things are true. But when we talk about absolute truth, truths, perfection, no falseness, no deception, no darkness. When we talk about Christ being the true one, we're talking about him being true in heaven before he ever come. We talk about him being true when he was in this world. When they say, boy, he's a true blue fella. Our Lord Jesus Christ was true. Never uttered a falsehood. Never walked the wrong step. When God looked at him, he said, he's true. He's perfect. He is true in his thoughts and his emotions and his feelings. He's true in every word he speaks. He's true in every step he takes. He's true to everybody he comes in contact. When he called a man a hypocrite, he was a hypocrite. When he called a man a snake, he called him a snake because he was a snake. When he talked about people that come to me, he's telling the truth. You come to me and I'll give you life. He's telling He's true. And oh, beloved, He was true to His Father. We're not even true to our own principles. We're not, you know, that one of these old philosophers, I forget which one of them says, to thine own self be true. Could anybody here say to their own self they've been true? We're not true to our own principles. We're not true to our own truths. We're not true to our own ideas. We let them down. But our Lord Jesus Christ is true. I don't know how to say it. I don't know how to express it. He was true to His Father. And when He came into this world, He came here with truth to tell, truth to express, truth to reveal. And when He came into this world, He came here with the truth of God, the truth of His Word, the truth of His character, the truth of His nature, the truth of everything that there is about God and man. He came here with the truth about every one of those things. You want to know God? He'll tell you the truth about God. You want to know yourself? He'll tell you the truth about yourself. You want to know the truth about the Scripture? He's the only one that can make you know the truth of the Word of God. Nobody else can do that. Who else can say, I've been true to the Father. I've loved Him with all my heart. I've loved my neighbors myself. I've never ever thought an evil thought. I've been perfect before You from the day I was born to the day You took me off of this earth on that cross. I've been true. And God could look at him and say, oh, this is my son. This is my son. I love this man. I love him. I love him. And I want everyone to hear what he has to say. And oh my, our Lord Jesus Christ himself said this. He said, I'm the way. What way? The way that we lost in Adam. He's the way back to the Father. I'm the way to the truth. I'm the way to the Scriptures. I'm the way to salvation. He said, I'm the truth. I'm the truth about the mind of God, the will of God, the Word of God. I'm the truth. And I'm the life. And he said, look over with me in John. Keep Revelations. Look in John 17 with me just a moment. John 17. Look what our Master said here. You know the true one. He that is true. He that is true. We often won't be true because we don't want to offend somebody. We often won't say what is true. Well, we know it's true because we'll say it won't do any good. And the person that we lie to more than anybody else is ourselves. That's the person we lie to more than anybody else. Would you agree with that? We'll tell our things about ourselves and we'll try to justify ourselves in everything we do, even if it's wrong. You know, I talked Wednesday night about judges and it says there that every man, there was no king in Israel, that every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Nobody does what's wrong in their own eyes. People just don't do that. If they do wrong, they say, that's right in my eyes. That's why David said, oh Lord, save me. Save me from my ways. Oh, Lord, save me. Oh, don't let me go my way. And look what he said here. Look what our Savior said in John 17. Look in verse 1 with me. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power, authority, might over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Now listen to it. Now this eternal life, he says, that if you're going to, I'm going to give to them that you've given to me. He said, this is that eternal life that I'm going to give to them which you gave to me. This is that eternal life. I tell you what it is, that they might know me. That they might know you. Not know some things about you. But they not know some things that you do, some ways you act, but might know you. Know you just like a person knows a person. Know you in your glory. Know you in your power. Know you in your grace. Know you in your holiness. Know you in your righteousness. Know you in your sovereignty. Know you as God. And look what he says here. The only true God. And you can't know him without knowing Jesus Christ, whom you sent. That's what life eternal is. Christ makes you know God. And the scriptures tells us that he's the true light that came into this world. Before he came into this world, nothing but darkness. And until he brings the light, you'll sit in darkness. He was that true bread which came down from heaven. And they said, Lord, evermore, give us this bread. He's that true vine. And all the branches only live in him. And let me show you one of them. That's over here. And John, you know, if you was in Revelation, turn back about two pages to your left and you come to 1 John chapter 5. Look what it says about our Savior. Talk about holy and true. You know, that's why this trying to express Christ, who he is, what he's done. I'm telling you, it's just, whatever we say, we fall so far short. We can't express it. And it says here in 1 John 5:20, and we know that the Son of God has come. We know he's come. And he hath given us, we know this also, that he hath given us an understanding. And we know this also, that in giving us this understanding, that we may know him that is true. Know who that is true? God that is true. Christ that is true. The scriptures that is true. And not only do we know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ, this is the true God and eternal life. And I tell you something, bless his name, he's true to us. No matter how much falseness is in us, how much hypocrisy is in us, how much failings in us, how much flesh is in us, he remains true to us. He remains true to us. He does. When we play the harlot, he remains true to us. And oh, not only look over here, another thing it says about it. Not only is he holy, not only is he true, but he's the only one who has any authority in this world. And look what it says about spiritual matters now with God. He is true, he that hath the key of David. Oh my, he's the only one. I've done read it to you. He has the key with regard to the kingdom of God. When he was first born, Herod said, I hear that there's a king born of Israel. Said, go find him. I want to worship him. He wanted that baby destroyed because he didn't want no one to question his authority. He was the king. He didn't want no other kings. So he said, go sit and have all those children killed. And I tell you, beloved, he did. Christ, when he was an infant, he had the key of David. When he was 12, he had the key of David. When he was 25, he had the key of David. When he was 30, he had the key of David. Before he ever came, he had the key of David. He has all authority. He has that key. He has that key. The key to the Word. The key to God. The key to salvation. The key to the kingdom. He's the only one that can get you in there and let you in there. And oh, beloved, he has the key to the kingdom and our present salvation. Do you know he was the one that came and opened our understanding? You know that? He's the one who come and saved us. He had the key to open the kingdom. He had the key to bring us in. He had the key to open the door. He had the key to bring us in. He's the only one with the authority. And he's the only one with authority regarding our future salvation. Our future salvation. What's our future salvation? Well, we're going to leave this world and set our foot in another one. That's our future salvation. That's our future. If I'm saved now, I'm as saved as I'll ever be. Except for this flesh. To go from here to there. I'm as saved as I'll ever be. And our Lord has the key to all of it. All of it. Look over here in Revelation 1:18 just a moment. He has the key. And you know, beloved, if someone has the key, they've got the access. They've got the authority. You know, if you want in someplace and you need to get in someplace, you got to wait till somebody comes and brings the key to let you in, or else you've got to break in. And this is one place you can't break in. You know, our Lord said, if a man comes up any other way, he's the same as a thief and a robber. How do you know if you read no Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress? Christian and faithful along the way. They're just walking along, talking and having a wonderful time and talking about what Christ done for them, what the experiences they have. And they're about halfway along and this fellow jumps over the wall. He climbs over the wall and jumps into the narrow way. Well, they're just walking along and said, how did you get in here? So I got in the easy way. I climbed over the wall. He said, you didn't go all the way back and go through that narrow gate? That straight gate and that narrow way? No, I didn't do that. And they began to ask him questions, and he didn't have a clue what they was talking about. They said, you know, you're just a thief, and you're a robber. You're on this way, but when you get to the end, you know what he's going to say? Depart from me, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you. Our Lord said, if a man tries to get in any other way than through him, he's the same as a thief and a robber. And look what I said here in Revelation 1:18. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And listen to it. And have the keys of hell. That's one place. And of death. That's another key. He has the keys. People say, well, you send your own self to hell. No, you don't. God put you there. Christ will put you there. You know, he has the keys. And then you read over in Revelation 22, he took hell and put Satan in that bottomless pit, and then he took death and threw it in there. He's got the key to life, and he's got the key to death. And you're sitting there dead in your trespasses and sin, and if you ever have life, he's got to have the key to give you life. And I tell you, beloved, he's got the keys on his girdle of hell and death both. And don't think for a minute that you've got any say or power over what you're going to do. I mean, our Lord Jesus Christ got it all. He's got every key to everything in this universe. You want to go to heaven? He's got the key. You want life? He's got the key. You want to stay out of hell? He's got the key. You want to not die the second death? He has the key. This idea, you know, that Jesus standing there waiting, hoping, pleading. I'll tell you, beloved, a man who has the keys don't open and plead and beg for people to accept the key. He's got the key. You're going to have to go to him because he's got the key. I know, not only that, but Lord, you keep Revelation 3. Look over here with me in Luke 2. No, forget it. We won't go over there. Now, not only has he had the authority, the only one who has authority. Oh, I wish people would understand that. Oh, I wish they'd understand that. Tonight I'm going to preach, if God will, on the utter fallacy and criminality of free will doctrine. It's criminal. It's foul. It's fallacy. It's horrible. And I'll show you why it is. And I know why it is because I've been involved in it. But now let's look at his work. His character is holy. He's true. And he's the only one who has authority. He has the keys of David. Look what else it says about him. And look at his work here. He opens and he shuts. He that openeth and no man shutteth. And shutteth and no man openeth. He opens and he shuts. What he opens, no man can shut. Now, if he opened it for you, you reckon you can shut it? if he saved you, can you shut the door? You know, people say you can take yourself out of his own hand. Why in the world would anybody think it would be the smart thing and the powerfulest thing to do to be in the hand of Christ, to be in the salvation of Christ, and say, well, I don't want to be there anymore. I'm going to go back to the world. I'm going to go back to my sin. I'm going to go back to my independence. What kind of idiot would even think like that? And oh, here he says, he opens the door of salvation. He is the door. Ain't that what our Lord said? He is the door. You know what a door is for? It's to let people in and also to keep people out. And I tell you, beloved, he has the door. He is the door. He's the door of the sheep. And I tell you, he says, you know, there's several veils in the scripture. There's the veil that was in the tabernacle that kept the holiest of holies, the holy place, separated from the holiest of holies in the holy place. And so there they had that veil. And only the high priest could go behind it once a year. And then there's the veil that Moses had when he come down off the mountain because the glory of God shone in his face and they couldn't bear to see it, so he covered his face with the veil. And then there was the veil that was in the temple that was 4 or 5 inches thick. When Christ died, the veil was ripped from top to bottom. And then there's another veil, the last veil, is the veil of our Lord Jesus Christ's flesh. Now that's a veil that opened the way. Just like that veil that opened the way into the holiest of holies, Christ, through His death, He opened a veil into heaven. A veil into the holiest of all. A veil into the presence of God. A veil through His body, through His offering, through His sacrifice, into the very presence of God by a new veil. A living veil. Before it had to be through the blood sacrifices and death. And now Christ ever lived. And now we have a living way into the very presence of God. And that's through our Lord Jesus Christ. And look with me over in Acts 16. I want you to see this. Not only does He open the door of salvation, but He opens the heart. He opens the heart. And why does He open the heart? Because the heart's closed. The heart's closed. He's the only one who can open it. It has to be opened. He opens the heart. Look here. In Acts 16 and verse 14. Now they're down in Philippi. Paul's down in Philippi. And there's some Jews, because they didn't have a synagogue there. They'd go down by the riverside and they'd go down there and pray. And they would go down there and worship God. And on the Sabbath in verse 13... we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made, and we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted there. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God with us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. God opened her heart. Now she didn't pay attention to what Paul had to say until God opened her heart. When God opened her heart, she started listening. Now, I'll tell you what, when God opens your heart, you won't start listening until God opens your heart. You'll hear the voice of a man. You'll hear prayer being made. You'll hear songs being sung. But until God opens your heart, you will not attend. Say, I've got to have that. I'm going to attend what this fellow said. And then it says there, what did he say? And when she was baptized in her household, she besought us, saying, if you think I'm worthy, I'm not worthy for nothing. But if you think I'm worthy, would you come to my house? So you see, beloved, God's got to open the heart. And when He opens the heart, you'll start really paying attention to what's being said. Things will start making sense to you. Things will start coming into focus. Things will start saying, well, listen, that's true. And you'll start realizing, you know, that there's things being said about you and about God that you didn't know of before, you never heard before, you never experienced before. The Word comes alive to you and you see things in it you never saw before. And God's got to open your heart. And not only that, but He enlightens the understanding. This understanding's darkened. He's got to come and turn the light on. And when He talks about opening the heart's given for the whole person. Everything about that person. You see, the Scripture says, with the heart we believe. The heart we believe. She attended on things, and faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. And then He opens the Word. He opens the Word. Not only does He open the door of salvation in the heart, but He opens the Word. Look in Luke 24 with me. Look in Luke 24. You need to see this right here. I know you've seen it plenty of times before, but look what it says here. We are absolutely in and of ourselves. We can't understand nothing. I read a Bible a lot, especially when I was a child, and then I went and bought one time, a Little World Bible, when I got under conviction once back in 1973. And I went out on North Dixie, and there's a little Bible bookstore out there, and I went and bought me a little Bible, a Little World Bible, made by World, about half the size of this one. And I said, well, I'm going to read the Bible, I'm going to start doing better, I'm going to start living right, I'm going to start trying to change, you know, make a difference in myself, in my home. I got that Bible and I read it, and it was just absolutely, didn't mean a thing to me. I just couldn't understand it. When I read, you know, that he that hath a pure heart shall see God, I knew right then and there that I wasn't going to see God. All it done was convince me that I didn't have anything. He that hungered and thirsted after righteousness, I wasn't hungering and thirsting after righteousness. I was hungering and thirsting after trying to change my life. I wasn't even hungering and thirsting after that. But I was interested in changing my life. And I thought I could read the Bible and do that, but the Bible was a closed book to me. And so I closed it up and put it away. Until God does something for me. Look over here now in Luke 24 and verse 32. And they said one to another, after they spent a day with Christ walking, and they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way? And listen, while he opened to us the Scriptures. Now these fellows were men who understood, they read the Scriptures. They studied the Scriptures. Went to synagogue and heard them read, but he said, we didn't know what in the world they meant. Now we know what they mean. He opened our understanding. Look down here in verse 45. Then, well, look back in verse 44 first. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures. Until he does that, you ain't going to understand. Do you understand any of it now? He has to open the Word. And the Bible's a sealed book until the Lord opens the understanding. David said, open mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. And then not only does he open the Word, he opens the door of fruitfulness. If we bring forth any fruit, if we are useful in any way, he has to be the one that caused that to happen. David said that he opened for me an effectual, Paul said he opened for me a door, an effectual door. He was the one who opened the door for Moses to go down into Egypt and set his people free. He was the one who opened the door and made David the king over Israel. And oh, God give us wisdom to know when the door is open. And I tell you what, he opens the heavens. He opens the heaven. You know when... Look over in Revelation 4. You know when Stephen was being stoned and he was laying there dying and they stoned him to death. He looked up and he saw the heavens open. He saw Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. And how in the world did he see into heaven? Christ opened it for him. Christ opened. You know what he saw when heaven was open? He saw the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only reason in the world for heaven to even be there is because of him. He didn't say, I saw a throne. He didn't say, I saw golden streets. He didn't say, I saw clouds and angels up there playing on harps. He didn't say, I saw my mommy there. He didn't say, I saw my daddy there, my grandpa there. He said, I see the Lord Jesus Christ. And that made him that much angrier. He said, I see the Lord Jesus Christ. That's all there is in glory. That's what we'll see in glory. That's who we'll worship in glory, is the Lord Jesus Christ. And look what it said here in Revelation 4, verse 1. After this, I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice I heard was as it were a trumpet talking to me, say, come up here. I'm going to show you some things. I'm going to show you some things. And oh, what did he see the first thing when he got there? Chapter 5 and verse 1. And I saw on the right hand of him that sat on the book of throne a book written within on the backside sealed with seven seals. And he says, and who is worthy to open, verse 2, the book and to loose the seals. Open that book and loose the seals. This is the book of God's will, the book of God's purpose. This is the book of God's decree. This is the book that's got all of God's elect in it. All of God's will, all of God's purpose. And nobody was able to open it, not even look at it. And I began to cry. And look what he said in verse 5. He said, don't cry, John. The Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seals thereof. Who opened the book of God's will, the book of God's providence, the book of God's decrees, the book of God's purpose, the book of God's will? Christ did. Who accomplishes that will? Who fulfills that will? Who fulfills that purpose? The same one who opened the book. And I tell you, beloved, and we're seated right now, we're seated in heavenly places with Christ. And then it says here in Revelation 3, and I'll try to wind this up here. Look what else it says about it. Not only does he open and no man shuts, he shuts and no man opens. When he shuts something, it can't be open. It can't be open. He shut the floods of God's wrath and judgment upon Noah. Noah was put in that ark, and the scripture said he shut to the door. Come down in the ark, and says, God shut the door. And beloved, when he shut that door, Noah was in that ark. Everybody outside that ark, the judgment, wrath of God fell on. But he shut the door of wrath, and it never fell on Noah. Did he shut the wrath of God against you? I believe he shut it against me. I don't believe the wrath of God, the judgment of God's going to fall on me. Why? Because I'm in Christ. Christ, the wrath and judgment of God already fell on him. The punishment of my sins already fell on him. So when God's wrath comes running through this nation and running through this world, and when the last word's been said and time ceases to be, beloved, I'll go straight to glory to be with Christ and everybody else. The wrath of God's going to fall on him. It's not in Christ. And all, beloved, who could open that door when it was shut? Don't you think that people went and banging on that door when that water started rising out of about their knees? Then it got up to their waist? You saw that tsunami about a year ago over there in Japan? And you saw that water come rolling through there and kill tens of thousands of people? And there's over 15,000 to 18,000 people that's just washed out to sea. And ain't never nobody heard from again. That was just water that washed them away. Now you imagine what the wrath of God is going to do. But boy, when those folks were standing there in that water and the deeper it got, it was a while before that ark began to float. Got to be enough water to get it up. And that water started getting deeper. You know, them folks started beating on the side of that boat. Oh, let us in, let us in. You can't get in. The door is shut, and I ain't coming out. Oh, listen, I got my baby in my arm. The door is shut. I got my wife and my children. The door is shut. I got my whole family, my mother, my grandmother, my children, my grandchildren. The door is shut. He could hear them crying and weeping. Open, open, please, Noah, please, please, you know. The door is shut. It's shut. And once it's shut forever. And you know what the scripture said? The waters prevailed over the whole earth. The wrath of God will prevail
over the whole earth.
Yeah. And I tell you what, he shuts the door of salvation. Look in Matthew 25 with me for a minute. He shuts the door of salvation. And that's why I heard Dee say last week, you know, today is the day of salvation. One of the brethren had mentioned it. And today, right now, today, the day of salvation is right now. Not tomorrow. Not next week. Not next year. Not when you intend to. Right now. Right now. And look what he said here in Matthew 25. Now, five wise and five foolish. Look what it said here about the verse 21. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be like unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. Five of them wise, five were foolish. Foolish took the lamps but didn't take no oil with them. They carried a Bible but they didn't have the Holy Spirit. They went to church but they didn't have the Holy Ghost. They weren't born again by the Spirit of God. But the wise took oil in their lamps with their vessels. The Spirit of God done something for them. The Holy Ghost done something for them. Well, the bridegroom tarried. He waited. He said, I'm coming back. They all slumbered. They all slept. Everybody does that. At midnight a cry came. The bridegroom's coming. Go out to meet him. Virgins arose and trimmed the lamps. The foolish said unto us, give us of your oil. Our lamps is gone out. We can't see. We're in darkness. But the wise said, not so, lest there be enough, not enough for us and you, but go ye rather them to sell and buy for yourself. You think you're going to get through this thing? Now go try to buy it yourself. Go try to get it. And while they went to buy, thinking they could buy it, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage. And the door was shut. The door was shut. Look what it says afterward. Came also the other virgin, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. He said, I say unto you, I know you not. Door shut, you can't get in. But we had our Bibles. We got tired of waiting. Our lamps went out. I better run buy me some oil. You can't buy it. Can't buy it. Can't buy it. And oh, beloved, let me show you one other, and then I'll be through. Luke, look with me in Luke chapter 13. Luke 13, verse 24 and 25. Oh, my. Luke 13, 24. Our Lord says this. Strive to enter in at the straight gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. When once the master of the house is risen up and has shut the door, and you begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know not. Which you are. I don't know not who you are. Oh, my. Shut the door. That's why he says, you know, there's only one way. Strive to enter that straight gate. How in the world you strive? You come and you listen to the gospel. You forget yourself. You forget your works. You forget everything about. And you say, there's a straight gate. That's the one I want to go in right there. I want to go in that narrow way right there. And I do know, so know this, that he shuts the gates of hell. When hell's over and done with, when this world's over and done with, he shuts the gates of hell and nobody opens. You remember when the rich man went to hell? And he says, Father Abraham, would you send Lazarus? That fellow that sat out there by my gate. That fellow that had sores on him and the dog licked his sores. That fellow that I didn't do anything for, had no compassion for, had no mercy on, did nothing but drive by him and look at him in his misery. He said, would you let Lazarus come down here and just dip his finger in water. And just let one drop
fall on my parched tongue. One drop. And he said, Lazarus can't come there, and you can't come here. There's a great gulf fixed. Great gulf fixed. Lazarus can't come there. I don't care what agony you got. He can't come there. I fixed it. We ain't never going to go there. And you're there, and you can't come here. And I fixed it where you can't never go to one another. Just a drop of water. He didn't say, I'm sorry for my sin. But hell is the door shut on hell. And I'll tell you what, the door shut on hell for a lot of people in this world already. Do you know that? Do you know how many reprobates are in this world? And God's already shut the door. And I mean the door is shut. I hope and pray that He hasn't shut that door on you. I hope that He hasn't shut that door and says, now listen, it's shut and you can't get in. But He's got the keys. And I do know this about Him, that no one has ever come to Him and come to Him with a need, with their sin, with their weakness, with their inability, that He ever turned away. Never. And once you ever start coming to Him with a need and a weakness and you sin, you'll come to Him for the rest of your life just like you came to Him the first time. God help you to come.
Our Father, in the blessed, holy, glorious name of our Lord Jesus Christ, thank You for this day. Thank You for the gospel. Thank You for the truth. And Lord, open our hearts. Oh, open our hearts. Open our understanding to love You more, to see more of You, see more of You in Your Word. And Father, I pray that You would have mercy today. While the door is yet opened, while the door of hell hasn't been shut, while the door of salvation hasn't been shut, I pray, O Lord Jesus, that You'd open a heart today. That You'd do for someone here what You did for Lydia. And they would arise and be baptized, saying, if You count me worthy. Lord Jesus, You're the only one that can do that. And we look to You because You have the key. Use the key. Bring glory to Yourself and open in hearts. Saving Your people. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Amen.
Oh.